Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Now on Triple M Footy.
Now they're switched on.
This is...
Who are you having to go in here?
...is the Midweek Rub.
Please just call me the Oracle from now on.
For BWS, go in-store or online. For whatever floats your boots and get your drinks for this week's games. That's refreshingly BWS. Triple M rocks footy.
Lightning put a hold to the Easter Monday clash for what felt like eternity, while Jack Ginnivan seemingly continues to piss off the umpiring fraternity. One solitary goal after quarter time shows the Eagles are still in footy's abyss, while for the Blues, Charlie Cano and big Harry Mackay refused to miss. The gutsy Tigers showed hearts of stone, the Demons are back in the zone, and Tommy Hawkins is looking at his iPhone to preview a huge gather-round starting tonight with the big fight night. This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub. Let me set the scene here. St Kilda Sledgehammer Joey Montagna's in the house.
Yes, hello, Rabsy. Nice to be here. Can't wait to get over to Gather Round this afternoon. There's plenty of footy on, but before that, there's a big fight that
big
I'm enjoying looking at.
A man who's never backed down from a contest, and that is legit. Damien Big Bad Bustling Barrett.
Yes, I'm heading across to Adelaide tomorrow, but very keen to see what happens in a certain boxing arena tonight.
Would you ever get in the ring with Bevo?
No.
And a man who's already in Adelaide, he's had his way in. He's going to be in the square circle tonight going up against his good mate Dane Swan. It is the Druin Destroyer himself, Daisy Thomas.
Ah, yes, how good, boys. I like that, Rabsy, the Druin Destroyer. Got a bit more to it than Daisy.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, a bit more a bit more physical grunt. Yeah.
Have you got your song lined up for tonight?
I do.
Are you allowed to say, share what it is?
Yeah, Eminem Till I Collapse.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a good, nice big grungy one. I'll have the robe on and come out looking like a boxer and then probably all come undone pretty quickly once I step into the ring and show myself. But it's actually starting to get a little bit nerve-wracking. The weigh-in last night, it's all becoming pretty real.
You're so great, mate, though, with the guy who's going to be across the way tonight, Swanee. How are you going to go with that aspect of it?
Well, I think like playing, you know, you come up against your mates in footy a lot of the time. Once you cross the white line, it's all bets are off. And then you come, the siren goes, you shake hands and move on. So boxing's not one of those sports where you really want to wait and find out to see how eager the other person is to hit you. I think it's best to get in there first and sort of set a bit of a scene. So hopefully, for those who don't know, Swanee's been doing this for a lot longer than I have. So he'll be well equipped to handle himself and hopefully the work that I've put in will hold me in good stead.
Yeah, fair to say Swanee's the favourite, Damo, but right, our man Daisy will put in a good fist of it. Hey, he spoke about being a bit nervous. The first part, I presume, of being nervous would have been getting the top off last night on national TV and the weigh-in. You've got that out the way now. How does that feel?
I got that out the way and not after a few sledges from Eddie and Danny Green as well. Yeah. I thought I was looking all right.
Eddie gave
me a couple of times. He gave me a quick clip, so I return fire about a helicopter and a wedding. look, that bit was part of it. And again, you know, it's sort of weird. We're going to fight tonight with shirts off as well. Apart from the beach and the odd pool, I don't go shirt off too many times. So thankfully I'm tan. That's one thing I have focused on. I reckon the tan drops 2 or 3 kegs.
Is that a real tan though?
That's a real tan. Yeah. Yep.
Well, after the fights, it's Gather Round. How excited are we for Gather Round? It was a success last year. It was a lot of fun.
Yep.
And it's going to be great this year as well.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It was, because you do get fans from every team in the one venue. That is actually true. You walk past the pubs and there's all different sorts of supporters and everyone's in a good mood and there to enjoy the weekend. So for some, it'll be a junket, Rabsy, and they'll just get on the... get on the Reds, and some of us are going to work hard.
No.
We're there to work.
No,
my wife's listening. We're working the whole time. So,
weren't you after a venue for a certain little couple of hours period on a Friday, Joey?
I might have 2 or 3 hours free on the Friday.
Yeah.
No, looking forward to it. I think it's a great concept that worked first up, and it should only get better.
Yeah, I agree. And the commitment to it now in a semi-long-term deal now with the government, it worked extraordinarily well last year. I mean, initially it was thought to be used in a development state, and in the end, they went with an established footy state. It worked. Mm. It worked. And I can't see now how they will let go of it, Adelaide. It just seems to be getting bigger and better already in the short time it's in.
You blokes lie as much as you want. I'm coming for a 5-day bender and that's it.
I was going to ask, what have you got planned after tonight? Are you staying on for the weekend and are you just going to run amok?
I'm here till Sunday. I actually have to work tomorrow night, Friday, Saturday and Sunday. So we'll have a few beers tonight. But, you know, it depends on what sort of condition I'm in post-fight. Mm. One, fatigue physically, what sort of shape my head's in, what sort of mindset I'm in. But no doubt, I'll have a pretty good time.
Yeah, and the other interest from a Triple M perspective mainly is our friend, Nathan Brown up against Kane Corns. What was the mood like in the arena last night, given the locality of it and the hometown status that Kane's got?
Has he got the support, Kane?
He kind of does, yeah. He's a polarising figure, we know that. But a lot of the Port Adelaide people really dislike him, but the Adelaide people are starting to come around to him. So... look, for Brownie, yeah, it makes sense.
He won't be used to that.
Well, no, and Brownie, he's got it all to lose. Kane is almost a free hit. Everyone expects him to go in and get a bit of a touch-up. He's going to be fit. He had his shirt off last night.
Did he look ripped?
Goodness, he looked like a Ken doll without the riz and the swagger. But Brownie's, you know, he's going to bring his best. I think he's the better boxer, but Kane's probably got the physical edge, so it should be a bit of fun. And if Brownie does lose... Sunday, tune in. Friday huddle and then Sunday. He'll never live this down. Never, ever live this down.
Well, Gather Round's going to be huge. We'll get your game predictions later on, plus Fair Dinkum or Fugazi. But up next, Damo, it is time for your news, and we'll start with Jack Ginnivan. This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub. Joey, Daisy and Damo.
This is the Midweek Rub with Joey, Daisy and Damo.
For BWS, go in-store or online. For whatever floats your boots and gets your drinks for this week's games. That's refreshingly BWS.
Triple M rocks footy.
Oh, absolutely. Massive gather round coming up starting tomorrow night. So go in-store or online for whatever floats your boots and get your drinks for this week's games. That's refreshingly BWS. Damo, it is time for your news. And once again, we're talking about Jack Ginnivan.
We talk about him in a way, don't we, Rubsy, Joey, Days, of someone who's a Paddy Dangerfield type. He's created more headlines than Paddy Dangerfield in the past couple of years. He's got 45 matches of football to his name. He's a young 21. He's got a birthday in December. So he's only just turned 21. He's obviously played in the Premiership and then been moved on from that club. He's been through the ringer from a public perspective with an off-field behavioural issue about 14, 15 months ago. He's had a rule change or a rule interpretation change, and here he is again after the third game at his second football club, Hawthorn, on the weekend, or Monday as it was, playing against Geelong, again in the focus for all the reasons that relate to just headline creation. And we'll start with the free kick aspect to it, or the non-paying of free kicks aspect to it. Laura Kane, head of football at the AFL, effectively admitted that he was umpired differently.
We've assessed all tackles, I guess you could call it, or contests that involve Jack Ginnivan, and it's fair to say that a couple of those probably weren't officiated correctly and we missed a few. But we've spoken to Hawthorn and reiterated, as we did in 2022 to all clubs, that we don't want players to lead with their head.
It's a clever statement that Laura's made there, Joey. I mean, I said effectively admitted. She didn't, but she did acknowledge free kicks weren't paid on that game. Mm. I think anyone who watched the game knew that to be the case. And I'm glad from the AFL's perspective, they did go public with it within 24 hours saying, we got that aspect of it wrong. Can I just get your take and yours too, Days? You're the players in this conversation. What is happening here?
Well, my take was, yes, he's probably being umpired unfairly, but I also have the belief that he's not helping himself by raising that arm, because the rule change did come in 2022 when it did become a bit of a thing where not just Jack Ginnivan, but there were a lot of players in the competition that started doing.
But I reckon he was the main reason for that.
The rule change as well.
And that was his first full season. He played a couple of games or one game of the year before.
It became a huge talking point. And off the back of that, the AFL made a rule change and said, if you contribute to the high contact, either dropping your knees, ducking your head, or raising your arm, we won't pay the free kick. And I think most players have adjusted. I don't think right now you can think of how many players actually do the same motion. Yet Jack has still, whether he does it because it's just habitual for him that he's always done it, or whether there's still an element of, I'm still going to try it and get away with it. And it hasn't, because he would have definitely got those free kicks that we're talking about on Monday if he hadn't have lifted his arm. If he just had have gone through the ball normally, he would have got
them. Exacerbating the impact, the contact, the motion.
Because the umpires have been told, if you see a player lift the arm to exacerbate the contact, then they are instructed sometimes to not pay the free kick. So my simple advice would be, if you put the arm down and keep it down, he gets those free kicks. So he's contributing to it. But in the same breath, yes, he is being umpired differently, because some other players would still get those free kicks.
How's about the secondary motion and whatnot that happens to him? So, yes, he may be causing some of the contact, but just the okay to have him pretty much effectively in a headlock post the tackle. Look, for Jack, you know, he'll get free kicks now on the back of this, but the fact that the umpires have pretty much put their hands up and the AFL said that he has been umpired differently, that's not okay, is it?
No, I don't. No, it's not. And I think they've acknowledged that. But one more on it before we move on. This is my non-football playing take on this. Is he, though, looking for the free kick when he perhaps should, and what he may need to do now, is look to get rid of the football upon taking possession of it?
Yes.
Is that a starting point for him?
I agree. I think it's a bad habit that he's got, that he's always had. Unfortunately, it was from his under junior days that they've said that he always did that, and it worked for him in his first year when he kicked 40 goals. So he does need to adjust as well. So what's going to be interesting for me is, with the type of kid he is, does he actually want to change his way, or is he going to be stubborn enough to, I'm going to keep doing this, and you're going to start giving me the free kicks again?
Hmm.
That's going to be the fascination to come out of this. And I just can't wait, Daisy, for Collingwood Hawthorn on Sunday. The first time he does do it, he lifts the arm, umpire pays a free kick. How do you think his former teammates, the Collingwood boys, who loved it when he was getting them the last 24 months, how do you think they will react?
I think it's probably a good thing that this is going to be played in neutral territory, because it might not have been safe for Jack to arrive to the ground or leave the ground if it had been at the MCG. This is going to be the best byproduct of the weekend, the last game of the round, and for the Collingwood fans going berserk, but also the players too.
Braden Maynard days. I'm on Braden Maynard watch on this one.
There's no love lost, and even the words that have been added throughout podcast throughout the week of to how he felt hard done by on the way out, there's spice and on this everywhere.
He also said on that podcast that he wanted this game played at the MCG in front of 90,000.
That's the type of personality. Yeah. He would want 85,000 Collingwood fans there against him. Yeah.
I've embraced everything about him. I love it. I think there's a theatre attached to it, which is unusual in 2024 when you're meant to conform and just do everything by the book, but he doesn't. Rebsy, you touched on Gather Round before and the concept of it. It has evolved in the 12 months that we've experienced it, and It's a work in progress to some point as well, but it does, I think, present a lot of really good matches, which we'll preview by way of our selection soon. But there's a lot jumping off the page, aren't there, out of the nine games?
Yeah, there are. It's a real sort of starting to shape round. I mean, people sort of give me a bit of stick when I say that the ladder starts to shape a lot earlier than people realise. When you look back, you know, you sort of get to...
You reckon round two?
No, not necessarily. But when you look at history, generally five or six of the teams that are already in the eight right now are going to be playing finals. Last year was
an outlier on that, though, or outlier on that, wasn't it?
No,
GWS and Carlton were, well, actually, they were probably back in there.
Carlton were in at round six.
So, some teams have played more games this year already.
Yeah, that's right. It's a bit of anomaly. But you're right, it is starting to get to make some headway. Like, if Adelaide lose to Melbourne, you know, you can almost write off Adelaide's chances of playing finals. That's a massive game. We'll touch on a few of them a bit later on, but there is some significant games.
One of the teams that has started in a way that no one expected, themselves included, Brisbane Lions, 0-3, massive stretch of matches. They've got North Melbourne this week. Look, I just want to come at it from a different perspective, guys. There's a fair bit going on at that footy club off the field. I'm not referring to the LA trip. I'm referring to there's three ACLs that have been sustained in a relatively short period of time. Will Ashcroft last year in July. We had Kadeem Coleman in round one. It didn't even reach opening round as it was, half time of that game. And then Tom Duday, who didn't even get to play a game for his new club in Brisbane Lions, is that had the passing of a person very dear to a lot of people by the name of Nicole Duncan in January, a very abrupt passing, and someone who had fantastic relationships with so many key people at that footy club over 30 years. I mean, there's trauma attached to that. And then you've got the Chris Fagan backdrop of the Human Rights Commission appearance last week, a day before a game of footy. There's just been a combination of a lot of things, which I think allow them to start slowly, but equally at 0-3, it's getting dicey.
I'm glad you went down that path, Damo, than trying to say that they're losing because of what happened in November when they went away. That makes a bit of sense. And you got to add on to that, losing a grand final.
Oh, that was the other one.
It does. It actually does take an emotional toll, particularly when you've been a team that have been contending for a number of years and you get to the top of the mountain, you don't quite be able to stake the flag at the top. It is a challenge. So I'm with you a little bit. You can then regroup and find your motivation. I think 2011 St Kilda, we really struggled. So after back-to-back grand final losses, we started the year really poorly. And that was the famous circle up, and Ross Lyon questioned everyone and said, you know, you're not in it anymore. You're not in it. Challenged everyone. And we're able to regroup and got on a roll and made finals. We got bundled out, but we did start slow. And I can see that happening with Brisbane Lions. I've still got faith they're going to play finals. I've got no doubt about that. That's how high they finished the home and away season is the question in regards to whether they can actually win the flag, which is what they're in it for.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Joey. They're a little bit off at the minute for whatever reasons and whatever impact those reasons you gave then, Damo, have added to that. But they're not winning games of football at the minute because their best players aren't playing good enough. It's simple as that, and it's forward of centre. If their forward of centre line can get going, the forwards, the big forwards there in Hipwood, and of course Danaher and then Charlie Cameron can start flying, the rest of them are doing their part. The midfield needs to get the ball down. they can turn this around really quickly.
Tigers got a win, the first one under Adam Uze as coach, but the carnage came out of the game. Tom Lynch out for, they're saying 10 weeks. It may, depending on what they discover with this procedure they're about to perform, it could be a whole lot worse, but they're already admitted it's a 10 to 12-er. And then Noah Bolter is a 3 to 5 week initial diagnosis on a knee, and then they weren't successful last night with Liam Baker at the tribunal after the match review office sanction of 1 week for his hit on Malikan. Not ideal. Dusty still unknown whether he plays. He may play this week, but he's equally, Dion Prestia is out for a long time as well.
Yeah, it's a shame those key injuries. I mentioned added Prestia into that because we all presumed Richmond were going to be a bottom four team, but we don't actually know. And I thought the way they were playing at the start of the year was really competitive. Like they were a bit stiff in a few other games. The Carlton game, they were terrific.
Yeah.
You know, they ran out of soldiers, I think, late in that game. And then to see them beat the red-hot Sydney Swans, like they could have, if they had all their players fit and available, surprise a lot of teams. You know, they still have so many quality premiership players, and a lot of players still at the peak of their powers. I know we turned to Grimes and Dusty, but a lot of guys that are still sort of 24 to 28. So it's a shame, because they're such important pillars. Now it does make it a real challenge for them to threaten them to be a top eight surprise packet.
And the good news is, if you're Adam Uze, you get to see a bit of this unexposed talent. So the opportunities will present for some of these kids to take the spots. Horrible news about Tom Lynch, obviously just getting back in after a long time out. You know, where he fits back in, if he fits back in this season, we'll have to wait on. But opportunity will present, and maybe for Uze, it's a little bit of a, okay, I get to find out a little bit more about these blokes as to where the list goes forward from this, and whether we are actually bottoming out and being a bottom four side, or if these kids have got something we can build around.
Well, the Tigers have St Kilda at Norwood on Sunday. We'll get your game predictions soon on Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub with Joey, Daisy and Damo.
This is the Midweek Rub with Joey, Daisy and Damo.
For BWS, go in-store or online. For whatever floats your boots and get your drinks for this week's games. That's refreshingly BWS.
Triple M rocks footy.
Some match predictions for a huge gather round coming up very, very soon. And we're doing it all thanks to BWS. Go in-store or online for whatever floats your boots and get your drinks for this week's games. That's refreshingly BWS. We're talking lager beer, craft beer, zero alcohol beer, pale ale, bubbles, brown ale, seltzers, whatever floats your boots, Damo. It is available at BWS.
It is, Rabsy. Go in-store or go online. Get your drinks for this week's games. And what's better than stats to go along with the game?
Well, how about this one from the weekend, Daisy? This one's for you.
Okay.
You know, Jack Viney became just the sixth player ever to play 200 games for the same club his dad did.
Oh, I had no idea. That's a great stat, though. Well done, Joey.
No worries. That's refreshingly BWS stat of the week.
Now on the Midweek Rub, it's...
Very well read by you, Joey.
Thank you. That was great. Great inflections.
Joey, Max King owes his teammates big time.
Oh, it's a good question. It's a good question. I think if they had Max King, they win that game. I do, because I think that third quarter in particular, he would have clunked a few and would have changed the game. So does he owe his teammates big time for missing a week?
Fair dinkum or Fugazi, go on.
Say fair say dinkum. It. Fair dinkum. Yes. Yep.
Good.
Fair dinkum.
Daisy, putting Carlton in the Good Friday game has made it the marquee fixture it should be.
Fair dinkum. I think ongoing this is where this should land and continue to land. North are only going to get better and better. The Blues flying 47,000, I think it was. That's the fans voting with their feet. Well done to everyone. Raised a lot of money for a good charity, of course, as well. That is absolutely fair dinkum, Mr. Roberto.
And what about Fev doing the pre-game kicking at goals? He's still got it.
I saw that.
Loosh. Damo, you're big on this. West Coast will get a priority pick at some stage, whether you like it or not.
I'm glad you threw in that phrase, whether we like it or not. That is fair dinkum. They will. That's what the AFL does when clubs can't get themselves out of trouble. I would have banned priority picks of any nature about 25 years ago, but North got one as recently as last year. So they're going to follow the same path, West Coast, and they don't deserve it.
Do you agree with them, Joey?
I think they need it. Yeah, whether I agree with it or not, they need it. They need it desperately. They're miles off.
They might need a couple of them, to be completely honest.
Yeah.
Their list is unfortunately...
So let's give them a couple of priority picks leading into the introduction of the Tassie team where it's going to be compromised for 5 years. We've got 7 or 8 years of compromised drafts coming up.
Is it right, Damo? We're not saying right. It's what's needed for them to be competitive because what we were subjected to on the weekends, my goodness. Oh, boy.
Now, Joey, I can ask you this for a question, or do you want it passed on to someone else? Because you do do some work for them.
It's a good question. I ask you, because it's another good question.
Joey,
if he doesn't ask, I'll back him up.
Fremantle are the real deal in 2024.
Give me the definition of the real deal.
They'll play finals and win a final.
Oh, that's fair dinkum. I think right now, as I touched on earlier, 3-0, it's a good head start into the season. They only got to win 50% of their games from here on in. I think they will play finals, so I'm going to go fair dinkum.
Damo, from a news perspective, no team has more at stake in Gather Round than Adelaide.
That's 100% fair dinkum. The season is on a precipice for the Crows right now. They've got a chance to make a statement against Melbourne first up in Gather Round. I don't think they will, but to give you the response, fair dinkum.
Daisy, Collingwood need to leave Nick Dacos behind the ball.
Yes, yeah, that's fair dinkum, actually. I saw what he was able to do, and even just a couple of the kicks that he was attempting, they weren't always perfect. They weren't at times on in terms of taking the kick and should be taking that kick, but he was brave enough and bold enough to go for it. He creates things. He makes players run to spaces they otherwise wouldn't go to, and a lot of their ball movement and a lot of the reason they got the ball from D50 to inside 50 was his ball use and his decision-making. I think that's fair dinkum.
Damo was very much born in the 1980s, but despite the ladder positions, Geelong versus Hawthorn is still the best rivalry in footy.
No, it's Fugazi. A lot of rivalries have now surpassed that one. The Collingwood GWS, for instance, is one in my eyes that immediately leapfrogs that. And I say that because of Hawthorn just falling away form-wise. To me, you've got to have two teams going at the big prize, or at least attempting to, or thinking they can, if you want the rivalry to be at its absolute peak, and that is not the case anymore. So that one's a Fugazi, Rabsy.
Speaking of those two teams, a Geelong versus Hawthorn grand final, Joey would see Isaac Smith break records for cashies.
If it was Geelong, absolutely he would. He would be cashing in. He'd let everyone know about it too, wouldn't he? Isaac, he loved the game on the weekend.
Likes a cowboy hat too in photos with other players from
other teams. Yeah. Daisy, it's hard for a Collingwood player to be underrated, but somehow Jamie Elliott is underrated.
I better be careful here. I like Jamie. Is he underrated? Yeah, no, I'll go fair dinkum. When he's at his best, he's underrated. And his ability to kick clutch goals can't be underrated because he does it so often. So he's been someone who's provided many avenues to go in a forward line that hasn't had a big target for a long time. So I'll go with fair dinkum there. Well done, Jamie.
He's been the one that's had energy all year. So the first three games when Collingwood was struggling, he was performing and producing at a high level. So he deserved his best on ground honours in the game on Thursday.
Damo, BT is clearly threatened by Ash Tua's commentary debut. Ooh. I'll play some audio.
Careful, Damo.
I'll leave it to you two. So where's he going to sit?
You're the big man at the moment.
No, I'm not.
You do the cricket, you do the football.
You have shrunk down here.
You earn more than anybody in here, Howard.
There's only one seat available, which is to your right, Howard. Yeah. Or he's up the back.
Like,
on the
you have international bank accounts.
Slip over here next to Brian. And
no,
I'm
no.
Like,
oh, Howard.
There's a chair down there.
I'll only say it once. I will only say it once. I will be departing should Chu sit in the front row.
Chief is about to stand up
now,
and
listen,
full rank you.
Damo, Ash has got a tiny little ass, as we know, and it'll be placed in a position that he can do his job from, which is preferably in the box next door.
Why don't you like it near him?
I like room to operate.
Okay.
Right, I'm going to say Fugazi, but I'm saying Fugazi because that was a power play on Chief and Howie as opposed to a power play on Ash Tua.
Ash was the poor pawn in that power struggle.
I think he used him as a manipulative tool to attempt to get to the other two, and he lost badly. Chief stared him down. There's a bit going on in that space. I'm just looking into it too, and I need a couple of more days to be comfortable enough to go with something public on that one, Rabsy.
I can sense this season hasn't ended yet.
No, it hasn't ended. No.
It's not ended.
I'm exploring an avenue relating to this issue.
Well, speaking of Ash Tua, Daisy, him making his commentary debut in Gather Round is the greatest redemption story in footy history.
Yeah, this has purely come from the powers of be at Triple M up above everyone, just so he doesn't go on another bender and start kicking caravans that belong to other radio stations. It's as simple as that. Mrs. Chu's obviously made the call and said, please return this man in some sort of shape that he doesn't look like he has been on the hangover, been let out of a car and come running down the street nude with a little shiitake hanging out. It needs to be sorted out, and hopefully for Chu. And from all reports, his calling's quite good.
It's very good.
So I'm very much looking forward to it. I love the Chu man, love everything he does, and I wish him nothing but the best.
Finally, Joey, we worked with this man on Sunday. We are fans of him. He's in the boxing ring tonight. But Brownie's a long way away from getting a Mitsubishi sponsorship.
This is the Triple M prime time for Mitsubishi Heavy Industries. Mitsubishi Heavy. Put your trust in the experts in the air. Mitsubishi.
Okay, hey! We're going to toss.
He still hasn't learnt, has he, after all these years, Damo? He just needs to slow down a fraction when reading the credits. I know the Sunday Footy Show, you've got that compilation already. Just add a few more to it.
The Red Z.
For Raymond McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy. Game predictions coming up next. This is the Midweek Rub, Joey, Daisy and Damo.
This is the Midweek Rub with Joey, Daisy and Damo.
For BWS, go in-store or online. For whatever floats your boots and get your drinks for this week's games. That's refreshingly BWS.
Triple M rocks footy.
We are over in Gather Round from tomorrow. The Rush Hour will be doing a joint OB from the casino. Make sure you pop down there. And then the Friday Huddle will be doing an OB from the Colonist Pub before that game on in Norwood on Friday. So let's kick off there. Thursday night, Adelaide versus Melbourne, Joey. Huge game for the Crows.
It is for the Crows. Unfortunately, they come up against Melbourne. I can't see how Adelaide are going to kick a score against this Melbourne team. They are so professional, so well organised. I showed the stat, I think it was on Saturday night, or I did it pre-season actually. When Adelaide kick 100+, they don't lose. They're 8-0 since the start of last year. When they kick under 100, Damo, they're 3 wins and 15 losses. Teams have figured it out. They've taken away their offence. There's not much underneath it. I can't see them beating Melbourne.
Yeah, I'm making my certainty for the round. Melbourne Footy Club, the first game of Gather Round, I just cannot see them being beaten. They were so steely against Port last week. They set themselves for a double whammy of matches, both in Adelaide in the past 2 weeks. And to me, it's an easy pick. Melbourne by some way.
If they kick 100 points, they never lose, Joey?
Yeah,
is that right?
That's right, yep.
So if they kick 4 goals, they'll never win another game in the history of... What is going on?
You oracled them last week.
I oracled them, and I sat there with egg all over my face for 3.5 quarters. Absolute rubbish. I think the Crows will win this one.
It's 11:30 a.m. on Wednesday, Joey. Will Stephen May play? What have we heard about that?
Yeah, the talk is he might be available. Yeah, yep. So we don't know as of yet, but the talk is that he will play.
Brisbane versus North Melbourne, the early game that you're doing. Damo, where do you see this one going?
Next.
It's so lucky for those Brisbane forwards to fill their boots and get their confidence back. Charlie Cameron, Eric Hipwood, Joe Danaher will all get their confidence back after this game.
It's a 10, 12-plus goal, isn't it, result, I would have thought.
See it punching out to 3 figures. Yeah. You could really see Brisbane just finally getting it back, a real pressure release, and taking it to poor North Melbourne. I feel sorry for the Kangas a little
bit. Playing the devil's advocate. What if?
Oh, if what if's a relevant question given the 0-3 start. I mean,
no, don't even use the word.
Don't catastrophise our situation, he said after they lost to Collingwood. That was after the 0-3 scoreline. It will be catastrophised if they lose, yeah.
Port Adelaide versus Essendon is the second game on Friday, 8:10 Australian Eastern Daylight Time. Daisy?
Yes, it should be a good game. I think Port Adelaide on their home patch. Look, they did a lot right in that game against Melbourne last week. All the key indicators probably indicated they should have been winning the game. Inside 50s, mark inside 50, clearance numbers, contested possession and tackles. They just didn't put it on the scoreboard or put Melbourne away. I think they win this one comfortably.
This is my outsider. I'm giving Essendon a chance in this. I like the way they're going about it, the Bombers. Jake Stringer, fully fit, is a different beast. Their midfield's flying. And yes, Port are playing this aggressive press, but we've already seen you get through it, you score, and Essendon's offence has never been a problem.
Joey, we were tearing Tullamarine down 5 minutes into that Saints game.
Yeah, they were horrible. And that was to their credit. After the first 15 minutes, they turned it around. I was impressed with that.
Bad kicking from Saints, Joey.
I'm going with Port, but I shared Joey's fanfare around the Bombers in what they're doing. But just on the home deck, and I think their performance last week against Melbourne, Port will be better upon reflection than it was at the time.
West Coast versus Sydney at Mount Barker.
No margin.
Ugly.
Skip that one too.
Righto. Fremantle versus Carlton. This is a ripper at Adelaide Oval, 4:20.
Game of the round, isn't it? No, it's going to be a beauty. Fremantle, number one defence, trying to stop Charlie and Harry. Oh, good luck. Midfield battle as well, too. Elite midfields. Good game. I'm going to lean Carlton just, but won't be easy because Fremantle defend very well.
Fremantle's defence on the weekend was what won them that game against Adelaide. Their back half was absolutely exceptional. They'll need to be at it again. Blues in a tight one for me.
Same assessment on that one to Daisy.
Damo, Western Bulldogs versus Geelong. Another intriguing game.
It is. It really is. I'm all in on Geelong, as Joey is to a point as well. So I've got no reason to come off them in this game, but I acknowledge the Western Bulldogs have found their form that they didn't have in their first hit out. So, yeah, Geelong though for me.
Would you be so in on the Geelong Cats if Bevo was the coach?
He's not.
So read between lines, our cats for me.
No, I read teams the way
them. I'm just having a laugh, Damien. Calm
Fair
down.
Enough.
I think Geelong. Bont didn't look 100% right. There's some talk. He's got an ankle and he played a bit more forward, so they need Bont fully fit. I'll go the Cats in another close one.
Was that an in-game rest, you reckon, though, Joey? Rather than sitting him out, just sort of playing forward?
I thought that, Dave, but then I read somewhere that he might have a bit of an ankle that might just be bugging him a little bit more than maybe has been spoken about. So keep an eye on that one.
Daisy's already niggling and antagonising. You should save it for tonight for Swanee, Days.
Okay.
Gold Coast versus the GWS Giants at Mount Barker.
Chew Man will be calling Toby Green's name a lot. The Chew will be calling the Giants win.
Giants.
Concur.
Richmond versus St Kilda. I mean, they've just got no cattle at the moment, the Tigers. Can they beat your mob, Saints?
Saints, most certainly. They'll bounce back. They'll beat a banged-up Richmond, unfortunately. No Bolter, no Lynch. Going to be too difficult. Saints, with Rossi Lyon, will fire them up and they'll win.
And no Baker as well. And so Baker, for that reason, that trio of outs on top of Prestia and the unknown about Dusty, St Kilda for me.
And the King comes in as well. So that strengthens the Saints. Saints for me. Certainly as well, Joey.
Finally, the Jack Ginnivan, Max Lynch, Clinton Young Cup, Collingwood versus Hawthorn wraps up Gather Round at Adelaide Oval, 5:10 p.m. Where do you see this game playing out, Dace?
Look, the Pies have to win this one again. If they're going to, we talked about the 0-3 start. They had to beat the Brisbane Lions. They now need to just go on and win this game, get to the bye, reassess in 2 and 3. They just need to find a way. I think they're good enough to. It's going to be fireworks everywhere, not just the Ginnivan matchup, but also Nick Dacos. We know the role that will be played on him.
Sicily,
yeah. Mm. There's going to be matchups and fireworks everywhere. I think the Pies, but probably not as far as most people would be saying.
Yeah, I'm a bit with you on that aspect of it, but Lewis being out for the Hawks, he hasn't had a good year, it must be said, but him not being there for this game with a hamstring is a problem for them, so Collingwood.
Yeah, Collingwood win, yep.
Can I get your certainties and your outsiders again, please?
Yep, again, St Kilda is my certainty to beat Richmond, and Essendon as a smoky is a real outsider.
Yeah. I'll have the Saints as my certainty, sorry, Damo, and the Bulldogs as an outsider.
I've got the Demons as my certainty, and I've tipped, I think, the favourites in every other game, but I'm with Joey on the possibilities around Essendon against Port.
Well, you can catch every game at Gather Round, including Ash Chua's call-by-call debut live on Triple M and the Listener app, starting with Adelaide taking on Melbourne tomorrow night and the all-new Thursday Rub pre-game show with Jack Heverin, Kate McCarthy, Isaac Smith, who's on fire, and Jay-Z Clark from 6 p.m. This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub. Joey, Daisy and Damo.
This has been Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub with Joey Montagna, Daisy Thomas and Damien Barrett. Follow Triple M Footy on socials to get the latest news and highlights. And to live stream games or listen anytime, download the Listener app, LISTNR.
For BWS, go in store or online for whatever floats your boots and get your drinks for this week's games. That's refreshingly BWS.